All right, so we're all officially back in school, and I know you're loving it. How was first week? A little hoot hoot for good week? Yeah? No? All right, we'll pray for you guys later. Lots of prayer tonight for being back to school. So listen, as you're back to school, you're probably like already bumping up to new rules, new things, right? New teachers, new classes, getting to know new systems. Middle school, like if you're just going to seventh grade, it's like a whole different world for you all of a sudden, right? And there's new things. And so tonight, we're looking at Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to look at a rule, okay? And it was kind of like this new rule that Jesus is kind of giving people, saying, hey, it's the same thing, but it's new. It's the same thing, but it's a different way to look at this. And it's not really changed, but I want you to see how it's filled and true and better. And so open your Bibles with me tonight. We're in Matthew 7, and as you do that, let me tell you this story. There's this guy that I knew that he was this British guy. So he had this really cool accent. You ever heard like how many people like the British or like the Australian accent, right? No, none of you. Are you guys awake tonight? Like you've never heard, have you ever watched TV in your life, right? Accents are cool. This guy had the best British accent and he was like this old guy. Like he was really old. So he had the best stories, lots of experience. He was just like really, really cool guy. And so we're on this, I'm not going to say where, but we're in the mission field. We're hanging out with some missionaries at their house. And I'm meeting this British guy who's like been all over the world, done all sorts of things. God had used him to do some cool stuff. And he, you know, where we were at didn't have like the nicest facilities, let's say, right? So they had an outhouse at this house where we were eating. And so that's like a bathroom that's outdoors. And it's basically this, it's a hole in the ground. Right, just like dirt, and they just dig a big hole. And then there was this kind of hut type thing over it. So it's like just like a bunch of wood boards with a metal thing over the top. And they called that like, so you just, it has a little kind of door. You go in there, you do your business, and you leave. So the guy, he's an older gentleman. We just ate. So he's like, I really need to use your I forgot what he called it, some British word for bathroom, restroom, your water closet or something like that. I think he said it was really cool. And we're like, what? Okay. So they're like, that's fine. Yeah, it's out back. And he's like, oh, you know, and they're like, but we have one rule in our house. Just one rule. That's all you have to remember. Because it's basically a hole in the ground. We have to take care of it so it doesn't just fill up. So do not throw the toilet paper into the hole. That's our one rule. Like after you use the restroom, do not, like in America or in England, like you just throw it in the toilet. But don't do that. Don't throw the toilet paper into the hole. You'll clog our hole up. It'll be a mess. And then we won't have a place to go to the bathroom. So that's our one rule. So he's like, okay. And he gets up. He's like, cheerio. And he walks off and he goes out back and he does his thing. And like a while has passed and we're like, where is this guy? Like he's older. So we start to worry about him. And just as like, you know, just as he's done with his business and we were getting worried enough to about to walk back there and check on him. He comes back in and he sits down and he's like, this is the most delightful place. And with like a better accent, right? Really cool accent. And we're like, why? Like what makes it so delightful? He's like, well, here they even like pre-crumble all the toilet paper and put it in a little bin right next to the hole for you so that it's already like pre-crumbled for you to use. Now, for those of you guys who aren't following, that's where you put the used toilet paper in that little bin. So my man was just pulling used toilet paper out and using that thinking, oh, this is so nice of them. What a hospitable country that they already pre-crinkle up your toilet paper for you. Some of you guys are like, what kind of lunatic uses crinkled and not folded toilet paper? We'll discuss that later, right? That's a whole nother topic. But he thought, apparently he crinkles, he thought it was the greatest thing in the world. And I'm like, like I'm about to vomit. Like, what did you just do? You're going to have some sort of like crazy disease. Now, he totally, like, he heard the rule. He heard it. They were so clear. They were like, we have one rule. And that should have led him to understand that the big bin right next to the hole was where you put the toilet paper if it doesn't go into the hole in the ground. But he didn't get that. He misunderstood this one very clear rule that was given to him. And so the rule that we're going to look at tonight, I feel like so often we misunderstand this rule that Jesus gives us. It's a rule. It's just one, and it's so clear. Jesus puts it so clearly for us to understand it, and sometimes we end up looking like that dude and completely misunderstanding the premise of what Jesus is saying. And so Matthew 7, verses 12 to 14, we're going to see this. It says this. It says, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. So Jesus gives us this incredibly powerful speech in just 4 verses. It's so clean. The rule is there. This one rule that he puts forth is so clearly summarizing the entirety of the heart of Scripture. And so many of us will read that and completely miss the point. I bet most of you have heard what we call the golden rule, right? And probably in school, like your teachers have said it, your parents when you were little and you were growing up taught you the golden rule. Do to others what you'd have them do to you, right? And we hear that and we think we understand that. A lot of us don't even know it's from the Bible or that it was even said by Jesus, right? Like, but the point isn't just to change your behavior. There's such a deeper meaning behind this whole thing. And that's what I want us to look at tonight. So that when we hear that one really clear rule, we actually get what Jesus is saying through that one really clear rule. So let's look at real quick, verse 12. Let's just look at it. He says, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. Notice something here. It's a positive command. You know, when you go to school, they probably have like this rule book. Maybe you guys got like the handbook for school and it tells you all the things you can't do. Like don't wear Crocs to school. Oh, ouch. Right? Like, oh, which I think Crocs, like you lose your salvation for that anyway. I'm just probably if you wear Crocs, it's terrible. Not really. It's bad theology, but still like Crocs are terrible. But like you probably have a list. You have a list of things you can't do at school. This isn't allowed on campus. This isn't allowed to be done on campus. You can't use these words. You can't wear this type of clothing. You can't, right? And so there's all these don'ts involved. And usually when you think of a rule, you're thinking, what can I not do? Tell me the things that aren't allowed, that are illegal, the things that I'm not able to do. And but what's happening here in this one rule that Jesus is telling us that is so important is not a don't. It's not a negative command. It's a positive command. It's a do. Do whatever you wish that others would do to you. He says, do it also to them. And so he's not limiting necessarily. He's trying to get us to think about what his heart is and what he would do so we will also do it. There's an interesting thing that happens when you're doing the right thing and you fill your life up with the right stuff. There's no room for the wrong stuff. You're busy doing the right thing so you're not doing the wrong thing. You're on the right path so you're not taking the wrong path. And so the idea here is what you should be doing, not what you should not be doing. And some of us, our biggest turnoff with church and Christianity and the Bible and all this stuff is that we're like, man, you're holding me back. You're trying to put all these restrictions on me and telling me what not to do. And yeah, there are definitely things that dishonor God you shouldn't do. I'm not saying that tonight. Don't hear me say that. But the focus of what Jesus is telling us is in one clear rule is a positive command. It's a do command. It's not a don't command. And look, he uses the word whatever. Whatever you wish. He doesn't limit it either. Whatever means like anything, like the sky's the limit. The possibilities are out there. Why would I limit you to tell you all the good things that you could do for other people? He's saying rather than think about the things I shouldn't do and see how close I can get to that line before I fall off the cliff, right? Before I actually fall into sin or dishonor God or do the wrong thing, which is usually what we try to do. How close can I get? How much can I get away with before it's wrong? Jesus is like, throw that away. Throw that thinking away. And here's what I want you to do instead. I want you to think, instead, how far can I go in the right direction? Like, what can I do? What are the things that I could do to honor and love the people around me and my parents and my teachers and my friends and even strangers? And you know what? Who else? Even my enemies. Because we're told in the Bible to love our enemies, to bless those that curse us. And so he's saying, go above and beyond. Like there's no limit to the good things that you could do to love other people and serve other people and honor them rather than all of the things we could talk about on our don't list that we're not supposed to do because it hurts others or dishonors others. What can you do instead? And he says, the sky's the limit, right? So he says, put yourself next. Basically, like the idea here is that you put yourself in their shoes. Think about what they would what you would want them to do for you? How do you want to be treated? How would you expect when you walk into a room that people would receive you and talk to you or treat you when you're in school? How do you want your teachers to respect you, the things that they say to you, the way they say things to you? What expectations do you have for other people and how they're going to treat you? And he says, put yourself in their shoes. And maybe you treat them with that same respect. Maybe you serve them with that same fervor and love, and you care for other people with the same amount that you would want shown to you. Put yourself in their shoes. The sky's the limit. This is about doing the things, not don't doing the things, right? And then also, like, hey, think about them instead of just yourself. Think about them. What can you do to go above and beyond to love other people? You know the story that I think of as we talk about this? I think of Jesus with his cross, right? He's got the beam from his cross and he's carrying it down to Golgotha. And somebody is there, you guys probably know the story, who then takes his cross from him and carries it. And we get this whole story of, hey, let's go the extra mile from that very story rather than just do what was expected by law of him to help Jesus carry that cross. This guy's like, I'm going to go above and beyond. I'm going to go even further. And that story comes to mind as Jesus sits here and tells us this rule, right? Like, it's not just a limiting thing for your life. It's a freeing thing for you. He's saying you can go above and beyond. There's no end. There's no limit to what you can do to show others love. You can go that extra mile. And what he's doing here is he's looking at all of these laws that these Jews had written, right? That God had given. They were good. They served a purpose. But Jesus came to fulfill those laws, to be the completion of them, so that we could then live through Jesus himself. And so what he's doing is he's looking at all of those, and there were so many that were limiting. They were the negative, the don't do this, don't do that. And the Jews had just basically perfected the art of limiting themselves and others. It was this legalistic list of rules. Here's what you cannot do. And if you do, I'm going to point my finger in your face. And you're going to feel the guilt, and you're going to feel the shame. And some of you guys are like, man, that's why I have a hard time even going to church, because that's what I feel like when I go to church. I know some Christians that all they do is they're condescending. Like, they stick their finger in my face and they're like, oh, you did that. Oh, I know your past. I know this. I know what you've done. And so, like, why even bother being around people like that? And that was the culture that he's talking to, a people group that basically had this huge list of how they would insult and shame and make each other feel guilty. All these rules of don'ts. And Jesus said, I want to free you. Stop thinking about the don'ts and start thinking about the do's. What can you do to honor and love those around you? So what he's doing, he's taking that whole list and he's summing it up. He's making this really nice little package to say it in basically one clean rule. The hundreds and hundreds and more of rules that they had and laws that they had, he's like, I can say it in one. And he does it in another place that we've talked about and we'll talk again, right? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others as yourself. And he's taking that and he's repackaging it and just saying it in another way for us tonight. And he's saying this, he's saying, all of it comes down to how you are interacting with other people. The Bible is about relationships. It's a book, a story, maybe a guide for good, healthy relationships. Your relationship with God and your relationship with other people. That's what the Bible summed up in. And so he can sum this up by saying, do to others what you would have them do to you. Think about it. If we all treated each other that way, we'd have so far fewer problems in our lives and in our relationships and at work and at school, like, because we'd be treating each other the way we expect to be treated. We'd be showing love. We'd be showing respect. We'd be serving each other, going out of our way for each other. And Jesus sums it up, such a simple rule that when we hear, we end up being like that old English guy on the mission field and completely missing the point. It's not just this fairy tale, this little nursery rhyme that parents tell their kids so they behave. It's about freeing your heart and your life up to look and live like Jesus. The picture of Jesus is he went to the cross and said, you know what I'll do for you? Not the don'ts, but you know what I'm willing to do for you? I'm willing to be hung on a cross and have nails put into my hands and feet as I hang on that cross and bleed and suffocate and die. And I'm doing it for you. I'm willing to do that for you. The ultimate sacrifice. And it was so much more. He took the literal wrath of God himself for all sin ever committed on him that day. Isaiah says he became sin so we could become righteousness. That's what he was willing to do for you. And so then he turns it over to us and he says, so what are you willing to do? You want me to sum up all the law? You want me to sum up this whole thing, this whole book, this message from God to you? Be willing to love others like you would love yourself. Be willing to put your own heart and life and desires and wants and opinions on the line for other people. Be willing to sacrifice for those around you. You know why? Because I did it for you on a cross, and I bought the right for you to do it and given you the power to do it through the Holy Spirit. So get up and do it. Stop trying to get close to that line. Stop trying to ask, how far can I go? Where are the don'ts? And start saying, how can I live for you, Jesus? How can I look more like you, Jesus? How can I honor you, God? How can I love the people around me? Those are the questions we should be asking according to Jesus. The do's, the whatevers we can possibly dream up to love and serve those around us. Because we have a big God who is willing to give his own life for us. That's the heart of the gospel. That's the heart of our Bible. That we would be willing to say, I want to look like Jesus. I want to love like Jesus. I want to treat the people around me the way Jesus does. And stop thinking about the don'ts. Then he, what seems like switching gears, but I don't think he really switches gears at all. And that's why I included these verses together tonight, because it's so important to see he's talking about something that looks like just kind of behavior that we might even say he's just trying to make us behave and act good. That's what the golden rule is about, right? No, it's not. The golden rule is about showing you that there's fruit in your life when you actually believe him. When you say, I follow you and trust you, all of a sudden your life changes and you start to treat others the way he does. That's the fruit. And then he tells us why that's possible. And to be careful, because some people would look at that and go, it's just about me behaving today. That's what the Jewish culture would have said. We're following the law, Jesus. We're going to get into heaven because we're being good and we're following the law you set out. And Jesus says, hold on. Enter by the narrow gate. Right? It almost is like slamming the brakes and like take a quick right turn. That's not what he's doing. He's like, here's actually how this is done. You want to do? You want to love this way? Here's how it's done. Not by just changing your behavior, but by entering the narrow gate. He doesn't mean, man, this is going to be so hard because there's lots of rules. You're going to have to dodge them like landmines to not break them so that you can make it into heaven and get into the gates. That's not what he's saying. He's saying this gate has literally one way through. There aren't a bunch of landmines because there's one way in. It's so narrow. There is no other way. Jesus said it as well, right? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And that's what he's saying here. This gate is so narrow. It's just through Jesus. There is no other way. It's not by your good works or your good deeds or your behavior or how much you can please God or make him look at you and go, wow, good job. It's about saying, it's all about Jesus. He's my only way. If you sit here tonight and you're like, if I were honest, I would have to admit, like, there's sin in my life. You know, the only way to deal with that sin in your heart and in your life is Jesus. It's because he looks at you and says, I want to forgive you. And you might go, why? Like, what have I done? And the answer is nothing. Nothing. You don't deserve his forgiveness. I don't deserve his forgiveness. But Jesus still looks at you and says, I want to forgive you. I do forgive you. That's what my cross was all about. And as he rose from the dead, because he didn't stay dead, he's God. He bought you eternal life. And he says, there's one narrow way because I've already paved the road through my death and resurrection. You trust me. You believe in me. You ask me to forgive your sin. And you will be saved tonight. That's the only way. It's not, hey, I'll be really good. And at the end, God will be pleased and I'll be okay. He'll let me into heaven. It's not, I come from a good family and my parents go to church. And like, we've been a church family, so I'm good. I'm just automatically like written in here. Doesn't work that way. Well, there's, you know, I'm a person of kind of faith and I'm spiritual and I believe there's a God out there and there's lots of gods and lots of ways to make it and I just try not to judge. No, sorry, he says that's not the way either. The way, the gate is narrow. There's one way. And does my heart break for the people who really, really believe and think that all these other ways work? And they're mistaken? Yeah, my heart breaks for them. But tonight I'm here to say, there's one way. Jesus tells us there is one way to be saved. And it is through him. Placing your trust in the Son of God who died on the cross for you and rose from the dead. And tonight offers you forgiveness and salvation. That is the only way. Bowing before him and saying, God, forgive my sin and save me. He promises he will. Enter by the narrow gate. He says, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. He's like, a lot of people, the majority of people are looking for another gate. And listen, the world wants to show you all sorts of gates. There's plenty of available potential gates out there to like live a good life or go to heaven or whatever, find your purpose or be enlightened or all the things the world might want to tell you. But Jesus says there's only one that actually works. It's funny because like we're built for this, right? We like this, the idea of like having room and having space. You ever ridden on an airplane? Like it's pretty obvious when you go to sit and you're in the center aisle. Like I'm a big dude and I always, for some reason, get put by other big dudes. It's like they do it on purpose. They snicker. They're like, oh yeah, see those three guys coming? Stick them in that row. You know, like, and we're all sitting there like up on each other and you're like, oh man, I need some space. We're a culture. We're a people that like to have some space and we like to have a little leeway on either side, right? Like, in everything we do in life, not just on an airplane. We like that idea of that comfort and that luxury and that room to mess up and move and breathe. But Jesus is like, in this case, there is only one. You got to think skinny, right? You got to think skinny here because there's only one way through and it's through me. And you can't just think, oh, well, one of these ways will work for me. There's one. His name's Jesus. And if you come tonight and you're thinking that there's any other way, listen, I love you and I hope I'm not offending you tonight. But listen, if that's what it takes for you to hear it, then just hear it. If you want to be right with God, there's only one way. He plainly and clearly tells us right here, it's through his son, Jesus. Maybe tonight you've just been coming to church and you've just been part of a youth group and there's lots of reasons behind that maybe, right? And somehow you got to this spot where you're like, you're in a rhythm and a flow and you do this thing. It's part of your life. But you look back and you're like, where on this road that got me here did I ever bow before Jesus and confess my sin and say, forgive me and save me? You're like, I've never actually done that. I just ended up here somehow and I'm here and I come to church and I just assume I'm a believer. But listen, don't rest your entire eternity on that. Because that's not the narrow gate. That's not the way. The only way is you bowing before Jesus and saying, take my life and forgive me. Jesus, I need you alone to save me. That is the only way. It is a narrow gate. But for some reason, everybody thinks it's wide. And he says there's a lot of people that are headed to destruction. And that's the sad news tonight, is that if you choose one of these other gates, any other gate but Jesus, the end isn't good. I can't bring you good news tonight. I can't end on a positive note if that's where you're at tonight. And I hate that, but I can't, because they don't work. And so what happens when you walk through those other gates? Your end is destruction, it says. Heaven is not waiting for you. There is another place that God has created that we don't like to talk about because it's scary and it makes us uncomfortable. And it gives us all these questions in our minds. God, how are you good if you make a place like hell and you send people to a place like hell? And he said, I'm good because I literally died so you don't have to go there, and you still chose to go. I made every possible way, including giving my son's own life, so you don't have to go. Don't say God's not good. He sacrificed his only son so you don't have to go there. So don't willingly make the choice to enter those other gates, to ignore his son and the sacrifice he's made for you. I want to encourage you tonight, if you're depending on anything besides Jesus, even if people think, man, this is a super Christian, they've been in our church for like 15 years since they were born, like this kid loves Jesus, and you're like, but I've never actually had that moment. And now if I tell people, it's going to be embarrassing because people are going to be like, we assumed you always were a Christian. Like, what's going on? Who cares? Who cares what people think? If that's you tonight, I want to challenge you. Step up and say, I haven't done the most important thing, and that's believe in Jesus, and tonight's my night. I want to place my faith and my trust in Jesus and ask him to save me tonight. Narrow. Narrow is the way. There is just one way. And unfortunately, it tells us right there that few find it. And tonight, my prayer is this, that everyone in this room tonight would find it. That you would walk through that narrow gate and find Jesus as your Lord and your Savior tonight. I was once on a mission trip walking through this. It was a village with just all these kind of houses scattered everywhere. And we were just breaking up in groups with some other people, walking around and visiting houses and just getting to know people and telling about Jesus if we had the opportunity to do that. I remember walking up to this one house. It was kind of like up a hill, and I had to walk up the hill. When I got there, the lady already had the door opening and just welcomed me, and she was like very talkative, and we started a conversation. It was a great conversation, and eventually, like, I'm like, hey, do you go to church anywhere? And she's like, oh, not really. Like, we kind of do, we kind of don't. I got the vibe that she just didn't really want to tell me, but they didn't make it to church very much, but they like to call themselves religious, which is a lot of people. And so I said, well, okay, but what are you believing? Like, are you trusting in anything for your salvation? Like, what would you say your beliefs are? And she had a hard time explaining it and was kind of just pushing it off. Like, I'm good. Like, I'm religious. Like, I'm good. I'm good. Like, that's all I need. And so I said, ma'am, like, can I just ask you a couple questions? Like, first, like, if I were able to tell you tonight that I could introduce you to, like, the president of your country. Like, I could bring your president here right now and you could meet him and shake his hand and take pictures and like the whole deal. Like, it would be awesome. Could you, like, how excited would you be? And she's like, oh yeah, I'd say yes immediately. Like, I'd love to meet our president. Like, I've always wanted to meet him and to know him. And then I picked someone from their culture you probably wouldn't recognize, but it was basically like a Tom Brady figure, right? But like of the soccer world in their country. And I was like, what if I could like introduce you to, let's say, Tom Brady? And she's like, oh, absolutely. I would love it. They could juggle the football, the soccer ball and all this stuff. It'd be great. And she's getting all excited. I'm like, well, I don't want to get you too excited because I don't know any of those people. I can't help you. Sorry. But I said, what if I told you tonight I could introduce you, because I can actually do this. I can introduce you to the God of the universe who created you right now. Now think about that. You can literally, if you know him, you can literally introduce people to the God of all creation right now. That should be mind-blowing. We can have a relationship that is so close to our Creator that I could literally walk up to you and say, I can introduce you to Him in this very moment. And it be true. And I'm blown away as I'm standing there, just the thought of that, that God loves me enough and is that close to me that that's a possibility for me to do. It's like affecting me as I'm standing at her door. I'm just like, I'm about to break down in tears thinking about like, God, why would you love me that much? I'm like preaching to myself and she's just kind of watching it happen. And then she looks at me and she answers my question. She's like, eh. Literally, that's what she was like, eh. I was like, out of all those people I just listed, the one who created everything that exists is the lowest on your list. And that's when it hit me that she's not unique in that. Jesus literally says right here, few are those who enter the straight gate through Jesus, the narrow gate. Many walk in through the gates of destruction. Most of the world, if you ask them that question, will probably be like, eh. Just doesn't seem that exciting. I don't know why. The blindness of the enemy is he likes to blind us to what's actually important. And we see the world around us and it sparkles and glimmers. And we're like, this stuff's awesome. But God, eh. Listen, I don't know where you're at tonight. I don't know how you view Jesus. I don't know how you view God. But I will tell you this. The greatest introduction you could ever receive is to Jesus Christ. Because not only did he create everything, not only does he hold everything literally into existence, he loved you enough to go and die on a cross for you and give his own life so that your sin can be forgiven, so that you can be made right with your Creator God who wants a relationship with you. That Jesus who rose from the dead and he beat death and sin so that you can have that gift. If tonight you take your faith and you place it in him and say, Jesus, there's no other way. I don't care who else you could introduce me to. I don't care what I could have on this earth. The thing I want the most is a relationship with you, Jesus. That's the narrow gate. Will you step through it? Will you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? The band's going to come up and lead us in another song. And as they do, would you just talk to God for a second? Would you just look through your life and your heart and say, was there ever a moment in my life where I got before the Lord and I said, God, I trust you to save me. Jesus, I need you to forgive my sin. Would you just be honest and just search your heart and think back through your life and say, was there a moment? And tonight, as you sit in your chair, would you say right now, I am trusting only Jesus to forgive my sin?